Well, hey there, welcome to the Strong and Sculpted podcast, the podcast by me, Kim Constable, also known as the Sculpted Vegan, about all things strong and, of course, all things sculpted. So let me just apologize, first of all, for not being here last week for the podcast. We did send out some of our most popular episodes to those on our mailing list. But those of you who follow me regularly and on Instagram will know that I was actually, for the last 2 weeks, beside my daughter Maya, who had a burst appendix and who was in hospital. So during one of the biggest launches that we have ever had in the business, which is the 8-week butt camp, I was managing the launch whilst also managing my daughter's absolutely horrendous operation and illness at the same time. So I just could not record a podcast because I was at her bedside literally for 12 nights. We stayed in hospital. She's home now, thank goodness. This is my first day back in the hospital, back in the office, should I say, from from the 10th of June or something, I think was the last time I was in the office. And this is now at the very end of June, on the 30th today, when this is being recorded. So apologies to you guys. I really did miss recording the podcast, but I just didn't have the emotional or the physical energy to get out and do one. So I apologize for missing that. But I'm excited to be back here again this week to bring you some juicy information. What we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about how we as women tend to overthink things. So this is all about stop overthinking it. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because we have just welcomed 3,500 people into the Butt Camp program, which is literally double the amount of people that we normally welcome into our programs. So, which is absolutely amazing. I mean, it's been the most phenomenal launch, but of course, 3,500 new members brings 3,500 new questions. And something has become very apparent to me during this launch, which actually happens during every single launch, but it seems to be kind of doubly apparent this time, probably because we have like double the members that we normally have coming in a launch. And so I just really wanted to talk about how we as women tend to overthink things, which means that we tend to overcomplicate things, which as a result means that we don't achieve our goals. So it isn't really about, you know, stop overthinking it. This episode really is going to address how we as women hold ourselves back from achieving greatness in our lives because of how we overthink and how we overcomplicate things. Now, why do I have the authority to bring you this information? Because I have built a multi-million dollar fitness empire. I love saying that word. My multi-million dollar fitness empire. Somebody said it the other week. I was like, ooh, an empire. I have an empire. But like, really, we do. It's a global empire now. It's a global fitness business, multi-million dollar fitness business. I built it myself from scratch. I've also, you know, competed on a world stage in the bikini category. I have achieved some incredible things in my life. And so I feel that I have the authority to bring you this information because it's something that I used to do myself. It's something that I stopped doing. And I want to give you the strategies for identifying what it is that you're doing and then to overcome it, with the ultimate goal being to achieve whatever it is that you are setting your mind to, or that you have set yourself a goal for something you want to achieve. So before we dive into that, I just wanted to tell you that we're just about to do, well, tomorrow we'll be doing the draw for the podcast winner for June. Every single month, we choose a winner from those who have left a review of our podcast. So what you have to do to be in with the chance of winning one of our Sculpted Vegan programs is simply to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, and then to screenshot the review and send it to me as a direct message on Instagram. We choose the winner from those who sent me a message on Instagram. So you have to do both. We don't actually go into all of the different podcast platforms and choose a winner. We choose a winner from those who send me the screenshot on Instagram. So if you don't send me the screenshot on Instagram, you ain't gonna win one of the programs, no matter how amazing your review is. So we're gonna be choosing the winner tomorrow for June, and then you have another chance in July if you leave me. This is June 2020. I don't know when you're listening to this, but June 2020, we're gonna choose the winner tomorrow for June, and then we are gonna obviously choose the winner for July at the start of August. So don't forget to leave me a review to be in with a chance of winning. Okay, so let's get into what we're going to talk about today. So how did this even come up? Well, We just launched, as I said, the 8-week bootcamp. We sold nearly 3,500 programs, and I go into the Facebook group every single day. We always have a private Facebook group for every single program that we launch, and I go into the private Facebook group every day, and I scroll through all of the comments and all of the questions, and then I answer as many as I can, but I also coach my coaches. So we have a WhatsApp group with my coaches, and they will post every single day, you know, how would you answer this girl, or I've advised this, do you think this is good, or Kim, you know, what do you reckon about this? And so there's a lot of communication goes on between me and the coaches, and we share a lot of information. And so what has become apparent from this launch is that there's an awful lot of overcomplication going on with the bootcamp program. And I am seeing this coming up again and again and again. Like I said earlier, it is very common with all of the launches that we do, but it seems to be particularly bad in this one. And I don't know why it's particularly bad, but it seems to be particularly bad. So I want to talk about it. I want to address it. I want to, you know, and give you some strategies to overcome it. So here's basically my first point, right? As women, we tend to think that we know best, and we overcomplicate things. And so as women, we tend to think that we just have this inherent knowing. And I think it comes from the fact that, you know, from a very young age, we, you know, we have periods, and, you know, we're very in our bodies, we're very in tune with our emotions. We know ourselves very, very well. And so because we know ourselves very well, we tend to have an enormous amount of self-belief. And quite often we believe that we know best, even whenever we don't, and we don't have any data. And I, do you know what happened to me? So let me tell you a story about where this kind of really became apparent for me. And I have told this story a few times before. So if you've listened to these podcasts before, you will know this story, but I'm going to tell it in a little more detail and slightly more emphasis on the parts that I may not have talked about before. So whenever I was prepping for my first ever show, here's what happened. So just to go right back to the very beginning, I decided that I wanted to do a bikini competition. I started training in the gym in April, I think it was 2016, okay? April 2016, I downloaded a program from the internet, and I decided that I wanted to get a really nice butt, right? That was the reason why I started training in the gym. I wanted to have a really nice butt, so I downloaded a program that was supposed to be, that was designed to, you know, lift and tone the booty. And that was the program that I started with. So once I got into the gym, I'd never trained. Well, I trained in a gym whenever I was younger, like, you know, and I trained with a powerlifter and things. So I had trained in the gym before, but I'd never used a systematic training program before. So once I got into the gym and I started seeing really, you know, incredible changes in my body, because I was a yoga teacher at the time. So I was, you know, very, very good with mind muscle connection. I knew a lot about the body, and I was quite strong, I guess, whenever I started. So I started training in the gym, and I saw very fast changes with my body. And because I saw very fast changes with my body, I got really excited. So after about, I would say, I think it was about 2 to 3 months of training in the gym, I thought to myself, you know what, I could do a bikini competition. And my sister had, I'd always wanted to do a bikini competition, but it always just seemed so far out of my reach. I wouldn't even have known how to do it. And there's a part of me was like a wee bit ashamed as well. It was like, oh, what will people think of me if I wear like a sparkly bikini, or if I put this out there, or, you know, it was fear of the unknown. And definitely I knew that my family wouldn't be supportive of me standing up on stage in a sparkly bikini. We're very middle class, you know, play golf and all that. And definitely it's not something that I think my family would have been like, oh, I'm so proud of my daughter standing up there in her thong. No, that wouldn't happen. So I was a wee bit ashamed to admit that I wanted to stand on stage. And so, but my sister had been prepping for a bikini competition before. In the end, she hadn't done it. She decided not to, but that had really sparked my interest. So as I started training, I suddenly thought, you know what? I could train for a bikini competition. And so I found myself a trainer, and I messaged him and I said, I don't want to compete, but I want to look like I want to that I could compete, right? Which wasn't true. I actually did want to compete, but I wasn't even ready to admit it out loud. So I went to him and I started training with Curtis, my first trainer. And so then after about, you know, a month or two of training, I kind of became more confident in myself, became more confident in my training. I could see that this was a goal that I could actually work towards. And so I said to Curtis, actually, you know, I want to do a bikini competition. And he was like, that's fantastic. That's great. You know, he was a bikini prep coach, which means that he trained and dieted women and girls, whatever, for the stage. And he'd competed himself many times. He's one of the judges, actually, in all of our shred competitions. And so he said, that's fantastic. And I remember going to Ryan and I remember saying to him, you know, I really want to talk to you about something. And we sat down and I said, I want to do a bikini competition. And he was like, no. I was like, I hate to tell you, but I'm not asking for permission. And he was like, Kim, I really don't want you to do it. And I was like, why not? And he was like, I just, honestly, he said it, like the thought of you standing up there in a thong, like it's so sexual. I was like, it's not sexual at all, but he really was very against it. But I was determined and I was like, I think this would be, you know, fantastic and whatever. And I really, it's something I've always wanted to do and I really need you to support me in this. So I wasn't like taking no for an answer. I was bloody well doing it anyway. So I started training for this bikini competition and I kept saying to Curtis, am I ready? Am I ready yet? And he was like, no, you're not ready. And I was like, but I feel ready. Look at those muscles in the mirror. Like I really thought I was getting muscular. I was so skinny. It was so funny. And he was like, no, you need a wee bit more. You need a wee bit more muscle. You need a wee bit more time. So then I trained with him for about, I think I started training with him in July. And then in December, I remember him saying to me, maybe it was November. He said, we could set a date for next year. He said, there's a show called XFS. I think it's called, he said, it's, you know, you could do that as your first show. It's a smaller show. I think it would be good. And I said, yes, but I'm going to do it. And he said, let's do it in April. So I was like, yeah, fantastic. That's brilliant. And I was like, you know, will you get me ready? And he was like, yeah, I'll get you ready. Don't worry. It'll be fine. It'll be great. So I started training harder and with more intensity. I was training like 4 or 5 days a week with him. And I was eating loads and loads of calories. And he was like, eat as much as you can. My calories were up to like 3,500 a day. I was eating like a horse. I was training like a bitch. I was just like determined to put on as much muscle as I possibly could for this, for this bikini competition. So when I remember it came to December and I said to him, you know, when am I going to start, you know, when am I going to start getting ready for the show? And he said, no, we'll start in January. We were going away to Australia for Christmas that year. And he said, once you get back from Australia, we'll start. He said, you only need about, you know, 12 to 14 weeks to get ready. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah, that's all you need. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I was thinking 12 to 14 weeks to get ripped. Like I've seen those girls on stage. They're ripped. Like how am I going to be ripped in 12 to 14 weeks? Because of course I had never been ripped before, right? I'd never dieted down to that lean, to stage lean, which is a completely different level of leanness. I'd never dieted down to stage lean. And I was kind of nervous about how I was going to do it. And, you know, I was, it's not something I had ever had experience with. And so Curtis said, we'll start whenever you come back from Australia. And I was really like, I wonder what this is going to be like. Like, I wonder what it's going to look like. I wonder what I'm going to be eating or how things are going to change. And, you know, people kept saying, you know, I remember meeting this fitness model in Australia. She was actually retired. She used to do figure competitions. She was in her 50s. And I was chatting to her and she was showing me her pictures and her trophies and whatever. And she was talking about, you know, what it was like being on prep. And she was telling me different show stories whenever, you know, she'd gotten really sick and different things had happened. And she was talking about being on prep. And I was thinking, what does that even mean, like being on prep? Like I really didn't know. And just for those of you who don't know, being on prep means that you are in that stage, that 12 to 20 weeks, however long you take to get ready for stage, where you're dieting for the stage. So prep is basically you're dieting and training in order to get lean. Okay, so that's what prepping means. So I was completely clueless as to what, you know, what went on. I just knew that Curtis had been training me. I really trusted him and he was going to get me ready for the stage. So I came back from Australia and I was all gung-ho and I was like, okay, now we're dieting and I'm so excited to start. And he said, you know, come to training and I'll give you your prep plan. So came to training and I was like, you know, I don't even know what I imagined, but I imagined whatever it was he gave me, it was going to be really exciting. Okay, it was going to be really exciting and it was probably going to be really hard and really complicated. And I was ready, right? I was ready. And so I went down to training one day and he handed me a sheet, right? And he goes, how many calories have you been eating? And I said, he said, track them over the next week and tell me what I'm eating. So I've been eating about 3,000 calories a day, I think at this point consistently. So he was like, okay. So he said, here is your plan, right? And he handed me a sheet, right? And this sheet had like a graph on it. Okay. And on one side of the graph, you measured you put in your weight. Okay. So like it went up, say from, you know, zero at the bottom up to say, you know, 60 kilos or 70 kilos, say at the top. I weighed about, I don't know what I weighed at the time. I think it was about 63 kilos. And he said, which is about 120, 135 pounds. So he said, so you're going to start here. He said, you're eating about 3,000 calories. You're going to start at 2,800 calories. He said, and then you're going to drop, you know, 2,800, 2,700, 2,600, 2,500, 2,400. And he kind of and or maybe it was not, maybe it's 2,500 calories. I think he started me at whatever it was. I think it was 2,500 calories. And then over the course of 12 weeks, I was going to drop down to 1,300 calories. So starting at 25, and I was going to drop 100 calories a week down to 1,300 calories. And he said, so you're going to start your cardio. And he gave me my cardio schedule. You're only going to start with like 20 minutes a day, because I was already quite lean anyway. So 20 minutes a day, and you're going to gradually increase. And he, so it was basically a decrease in calories and an increase in cardio. And I remember going, is that it? And he was like, yep. And I remember looking at it, and do you know what my first thought was? There's no way this is going to get me shredded. That was my first thought. There's no way this is going to get me shredded. I could not see by any stretch of the imagination how I was going to get shredded only starting eating 2,500 calories a day. Who the fuck gets shredded on 2,500 calories, right? That was my thought. Had I ever done this before? No. Had I ever prepped anyone else for a show? No. Had I ever been stage lean before? No. Did I have any experience whatsoever? None. How qualified was I to pass judgment on Curtis's prep plan? Not at all. But yet, did I feel confident passing judgment? Abso-fucking-lutely. So it was like so narcissistic. So what happened was then, so I started doing what Curtis said. I took my measurements, I took my photos. He was like, you take photos every week, you measure with your photos. And I was really like, this is so fucking boring. Surely this should be harder. This is what I was thinking. Surely it should be harder than this, right? It's gotta be harder than this. Can't be this easy. This can't be just what prep is, right? Decreasing your calories and increasing your cardio. Where's the grit and the determination and the suffering? Because anytime I'd ever been on a diet before, right? It was really hard, and you had to suffer, and you were like starving all the time, and you were grumpy and grotty and all this. And I was like, how the hell am I going to be grumpy on like 2,500 calories? So I totally did not trust the plan. Okay. Did not trust the plan. I completely negated the fact that Curtis had prepped hundreds of athletes. Okay. That he had girls on the stage every single year in many stages of leanness. But you know what I told myself whenever I was thinking about, because there was part of my brain going, well, Kim Curtis doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, he's got all these girls lean. But I thought I was special, right? I thought I was an anomaly. I was like, well, it's all right for her because she's lean anyway. She must have a fast metabolism. So I would look at all these girls that he had prepped, and I would have an excuse for why it would work for them, but it wasn't going to work for me, right? Because, you know, they were different than me, but I believed that I was special. And I believe that I just knew in my heart of hearts that there's no way from following this plan that I was going to get results. Okay. So what I did was I went and I looked up one of my bodybuilding books that I had, and there was a prep plan in the back of the bodybuilding book. And it was like, and it said something like, I'm a pretty extreme person. Okay. I'm the person that if you're going to give me a plan, I want the hardest, most extreme version of that plan that you have. Cause I believe that that's what will work for me. I'm like, don't you sugarcoat it for me, sweetheart. You give me the hardest version that you've got, and I'll take it on and I'll do it right. And his plan just seemed far too easy for me. I was a hard worker. I could work harder than that. So I looked up this book, and it said something about at the end of it, like about here's a, you know, if you want to do a traditional bodybuilder diet, you know, it's very boring, it's hard, it's whatever, but here's how you do it. And this person whose book it was gave the calculation for, you know, you weigh yourself and then you multiply your body weight by X amount of grams by 1.18 or whatever it was to get your grams of protein, and then you multiply it by this to get, you know, whatever. And here are the rules: only lean protein at every meal, as many unlimited green vegetables. There was different rules, you know, but you have, you know, X amount of fats and that kind of stuff. So I was like, well, I'm not going to do Curtis's plan. I'm going to do this plan over here. So I was like, I'm going to do part of Curtis's plan, and then I'm going to, you know, do the cardio. But I'm not going to do that, the food plan. I'm going to do this plan over here, but I'm going to take my photos and my measurements and this kind of stuff. But did I tell Curtis that I wasn't going to do his plan? No, I pretended that I was doing his plan. So not only was I defiant, I was a liar. So I lied to him and I defied him. So I decided I would do this other plan. But did I do it correctly? No, because I was like, well, I don't really know what weight I am. I'm going to guess. I think I'm like 60 kilos. So I'm just going to multiply that by this. And I think I'm kind of 100 and something pounds, and I multiply this. And then I was like, well, I'm going to eat peanut butter for my fats. But like, I didn't measure anything. Okay. I was like, oh yeah, lean protein. I'm just going to mess around. So I was like, yeah, tofu, tofu. Yeah, I'm just going to eat tofu. Tofu is not a lean protein, by the way. It's really high in fat, right? So I decided to create my own diet out of this diet that I had found at the end of a book. And what I did was I completely fucked it up. I created a total hybrid diet because I didn't do exactly, even if I had followed this plan, right, that was in this book to the letter, and I had weighed everything and I had done everything correctly, I probably would have gotten results. But I didn't even do that. I was like, ah, it'll be fine. Like, I just threw caution to the wind. I was like, you know, if I do loads of cardio and I do this, I'm gonna get results. I just kind of trusted that this plan would work. But what I didn't realize was, in order to make this other plan work, it actually needed to be extremely precise. Okay. And I would have been far better just listening to the advice of my coach. Okay. So what happened? Well, I had an absolutely epic fail. Epic, epic, epic fail. I was eating the same things every single day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I was, you know, starving most of the time because I was eating too many calories from fat with the tofu, which meant that I wasn't eating a lot of food. So what you want to do whenever you're prepping is you want to eat food that's very nutritionally dense but calorifically light. So you're eating a lot of food. I wasn't eating a lot of food. I was eating a little food because the food that I was eating was very calorifically dense. It was also nutritionally dense, but it was calorifically dense as well. So I wasn't eating a lot of food. So I didn't have that feeling of being full all the time. So I was absolutely starving. But not only was I starving, I was eating far, far, far too many calories. I wasn't reducing my calories week to week. I did increase my cardio, and sometimes I was doing up to 2 hours a day on the Stairmaster, but my weight wasn't shifting, or it was shifting very, very, very slowly. But with the amount of exercise and the amount of weight training and the amount of, you know, cardio I was doing, I should have been absolutely shredded, but I wasn't, right? And then about halfway through the program, I realized I was about 4 weeks, 5 weeks out from my show, and I realized I was nowhere near lean enough. And Curtis was going to me, I don't understand why you're not leaner. Like, and he was, and then eventually I came clean. I was like, Curtis, I have something to tell you. And he was like, what? I was like, I haven't been following your food plan. And he's like, well, what have you been following? And bless him, he wasn't angry or anything. I would have been like, you fucking asshole. But he was like, oh my God, what have you been doing? So I showed him what I've been doing. And he was like, Kim, this is not, he was like, so I told him, then I was like, laid it all on the line. I was like, this is what I've been doing. He was like, oh my God, you penis. So he said to me, he was like, right, we need to try and fix this. So we're like, with like 4 weeks, I think it was about 4 weeks or maybe even 3 weeks. I was so close to the show. I was exhausted. I was burnt out. I was knackered. I was failing massively. So in the last 4 weeks, he adjusted my diet. He, you know, he weighed me, he worked out on my calories, he got me measuring everything. And in the last 4 weeks, I did lose quite a lot of body fat, and I did stand on stage reasonably lean, not ripped by any means, but reasonably lean. And I learned a massive, massive, massive lesson. Okay. So what was the lesson? Okay. The lesson was, Curtis, my trainer, was the expert. He had trained many, many bikini athletes, and he had gotten phenomenal results. So why the hell did I, why was I so narcissistic? Why did I believe with my zero experience that I knew better than him, right? Because really that is what it is. It's not that I even believed I knew better than him. I didn't trust the plan that he gave me. I questioned it. Right? I questioned it because I just didn't believe that it would get me the results, but I didn't believe it would get me the results based on zero data, right? Zero data. All I had was a feeling and a belief that I could do it. Now, I was a yoga teacher. I was very, very lean. Before Curtis, actually, before I started training with him, I was only eating 1,200 to 1,400 calories a day. So I had been very lean, but I had never been stage lean, okay? Never been stage lean. But here's the thing, right? What happened was, because I created my own hybrid program, whenever I started to struggle, I went to him to fix it because I didn't know how to fix it. I didn't know how to fix it because I didn't have the experience. So I had created this hybrid program, but then whenever I panicked and failed, whenever I failed actually, and then panicked, I didn't know how to fix it because I had never gotten the result that I was working to before. Curtis had gotten the result millions of times. So he would have known, had I followed his plan, how to adjust the plan. He would have looked at the calories and said, calories are too high, you need to reduce them a bit. You need to increase this, you need to decrease this. He would have known by looking at me, because he saw me every single day, whether to increase or decrease or change or whatever. He just would have known how to do it. Whereas because I had created my own hybrid plan based on zero experience, I didn't know how to change it. And this is what I'm seeing time and time and time again, especially in the Bootcamp launch, but also with all of my programs, okay? All of my programs. Women come into the programs and they look at the program that I've created and something happens. And I don't know what it is. It could be many, many things. But something happens where they decide that they don't want to follow the program as it's laid out. They decide that they want to add in extra cardio, or they want to keep that their training they're already doing, or they want to make it a raw food diet, or they want to, you know, they want to learn to do the macros and calories. They don't want to follow the meal plan. They want to follow the macros and calories, even though we say, if you're going to create your own meal plan, here are the macro calculations, but don't do this unless you're an experienced athlete. But they go, well, you know, I just want to do it anyway. And then what happens is then they start to struggle and they go, oh, I was trying to do the calories, but they're different to the meal plan. And now I'm trying to figure out how to do this. And I can't do this without adding in extra carbs and whatever. And we go, this is why we told you not to do it unless you're experienced, because these questions show us you're not experienced and you're trying to do what Kim did. You know, I say to them, well, I don't say this to him, but I think it, you're trying to do what I did whenever I first started, which is you've decided to go your own road, but now you're looking to us to fix it. But rather than just trusting the program that we have given you, right? Now, I don't actually even judge these women for doing this, because here's the thing. I did it myself. I know exactly what it's like. We look at something and either we don't believe that it's going to get us the result, or we don't believe that it's good enough, or we don't believe it's hard enough, or we want our cake and eat it too. We're like, well, I really enjoy eating a raw food diet, so I don't want to change from that, but I still want to get the results. So can you please tell me how I can squish your program over into what it is that I want and I believe and still get the result? We're like, well, you can't actually, because then you would be creating a mutant program. But I do understand why women do this, and I do understand why we have the need. And a lot of it does come down to our belief that we know best, right? But the thing about it is, the reason why I'm even recording this podcast, I'm hoping many of you who are in the butt camp are actually listening to this, but the reason why I've recorded it mostly is because I want to save you from making the mistakes that I make, right? That I made. You know, I have created the Butt Camp program. It's an 8-week program, which is designed to build your glutes and your hamstrings, okay? So give you a higher, tighter, perkier butt to help you to reduce cellulite, but also to get you shredded, okay? And there's $10,000 attached to it at the end of it as well in the competition. So, you know, I designed it for that specific result. I sat down and I went, okay, if I want to create a program that's going to get somebody shredded, that's going to reduce cellulite and lift their butt, what would I do? And that's the program that I created. So I guess now with all my experience, I look at them and I go, why would you change the program? It's, you know, well, why not just follow it as it is? Like, I didn't create it. It's not an experiment. I didn't just go, oh, well, I'm just going to put this down on paper and just hope that it gets the results. No, I have a massive amount of experience creating programs for hundreds of thousands of people worldwide. And I know how to create a program that works. But I see women coming into the program doing exactly what I did whenever I first met with Curtis. It's always the newbies who do this. It's never the experienced ones who've bought millions of programs from me. It's always the newbies who do it. And I see them doing exactly what I did in the beginning, which is creating a mutant program, panicking, and then not getting the results. So the reason why I'm recording this is because, then you listen, this information can be applied. It doesn't have to be into bodybuilding. It can be to business, it can be to rock climbing, it can be to anything that you are trying to achieve, okay? The information I'm going to give you here, and there's a little more coming, is really to how to achieve any goal in your life. And the thing about it is, like, I learned a huge, huge lesson that first time, right? That first time that I failed, I learned a huge lesson, because I realized, really importantly, I realized something about myself, okay? Something that I kind of did know before, but it was really cemented into me from then, and it changed forevermore. But I realized that I am very, very, very defiant, okay? Very defiant. I have literally never grown up. I am a toddler running around in a 41-year-old woman's body, stamping my foot and saying, I don't want to, you can't make me. Like, honestly, you know, but the thing about I've realized is this defiance was actually keeping me stuck in being mediocre. I was never achieving greatness, because anytime I found a mentor, or anytime I find someone who, you know, was going to try, that I had trusted to guide me towards a specific goal, I rarely followed their advice to the letter. Like, I was always adding in this or adding in that, or changing this or changing that, or thinking that I could make it better. I was so narcissistic and so defiant that I believed that I could just make it a little bit better. Okay, I just have such a massive amount of self-belief, which is a good thing because it's why I'm successful, but it's also really, really, really bad for achieving a program. It's good to question things, but truly, It's better to question it and then have the data adjusted by your mentor rather than adjust it yourself, especially if you don't have any experience. And, you know, when I first realized that I was really defiant, actually, it was years ago whenever I was running a training program. I wasn't running. I was actually working as a coach in a training program. And there was a girl who was running the training program, and she was highly, highly, highly experienced in running these programs. She'd run them all over the world. It was like an NLP training, and she'd run them all over the world. And I had, I was working as a coach in the program and helping her to run the event. But it was her event. Now, but she was very softly spoken, right? I'm a very domineering kind of person. Like, I'm outspoken. I don't mind, you know, speaking my mind. I don't mind, you know, giving orders, telling people what to do. This girl wasn't like that. She was, or this woman, should I say, she was very softly spoken. She was very confident in herself, but she wasn't like me. You know, I tend to believe and respect people more who are like, do this, do that, don't question me, you know, because I'm like, oh, okay. Like, whereas if you're like very softly spoken and you're like asking me and whatever, like I have some kind of weird self-belief that, you know, that I, you know, that if you're not dominating me, then you're not like, you're, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I don't have as much respect for you in some way or something if you're not dominating me, right? Which is totally weird. But anyway, so I was running, we're running in this training program. And I remember this particular night, there was the head trainer, right? The head NLP trainer. And then there was this woman who was a friend of mine who was running the event. And I remember that the woman who was my friend who was running the event said to me, we're going to order pizzas for dinner. We're breaking for dinner. We're going to order pizzas for dinner. She said, can you order the pizzas? And I said, yes, sure, no problem. What time do you want me to order them for? And she said, and she kind of thought for a minute, and she assessed, and she looked, she was like, she was counting up. She said, we have this module to do and this module. She goes, can you order them for 6 p.m.? And I said, okay, no problem at all. So I went out of the room and I picked up my phone to order the pizzas. And I thought, there's no way we're going to be finished by 6 p.m. The data so far had suggested that over the last couple of days in this training program, that dinner had never been at 6 p.m., right? They were always, always, always late. The modules always ran over. They were always late. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to order it for 6 p.m. I'm going to order it for 7 p.m., right? Because I thought, there's no way that these are going to be, pizzas are going to be here on time, or that they're going to be finished and then the pizzas are going to be cooled. So I ordered the pizzas for 7 p.m. So anyway, the head trainer came out at one point during the modules. They were doing it, breakout groups. And she said to me, do you know, has dinner been organized? And I said, yes, dinner has been organized for, 7 p.m. And she said, okay, 7 p.m. And I said, my friend actually did tell me that. I said, Janet did tell me to order them for 6, but, you know, I didn't think they'd be finished by 6, so I ordered them for 7. And the head trainer looked at me and she went, oh, so you defy her. And I went, I what? And she said, you defy her. And I was like, no, I just thought that they wouldn't be, you know, ready for 6, so I ordered them for 7. She said, why did you not say that to Janet? And I was like, I don't know. She was like, that might be something you want to look at. And I was like, oh my God. And like, I had this moment, like this real ashamed moment came over me. But it was one of these defining moments of my life, because I realized I hadn't said to the person, I hadn't said to Janet that I hadn't said to her, well, you know, do you not think that maybe, you know, it would be better to order them for 7 because, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like I said to her, sure, no problem at all, in my mind thinking there's no way you're going to be finished by 6. But rather than say that, right, I just thought, well, I'm just going to do what I believe is best. Okay. You know what that is called, people? That is called defiance. Okay. You can package it up and pretend that it's not and call it whatever else that you want, but that is pure defiance. If you're not voicing your concerns or opinions or thoughts to the person who is your direct, not, well, in this case, it was my superior giving me a direct order. Like, well, you know, what would have been wrong with just saying to her, well, actually, I believe that, you know, do you not think that it would be better to order them for 7? And she would have been open to that information, but I just went along, was like, yeah. And then just decided to go ahead and order them for 7. Right. That is defiance. And the minute I saw that, I was like, oh my God, yes, that is what I do. And that's exactly what I did with Curtis as well. I became aware of it that first time, but it didn't actually transform it, because I did it again with Curtis. I nodded and I said, yeah, sure. No problem. Right. Okay. So you're going to give me this plan. Okay. So I'm going to decrease my cardios and decrease my calories and increase my cardio and whatever. But I didn't say to him, are you sure this is going to work? And I didn't voice any of my concern. I pretended to go along with it. And then I went ahead and did my own thing anyway. You know what that's called? Defiance, right? And here's the thing, right? When you are defiant, it doesn't allow the person who is guiding or teaching you to learn and make adjustments, okay? you know, whenever someone gives you a plan, it's not a direct order. And I think those of us who are defiant believe that, you know, orders, you know, usually we had very controlling parents. I went to boarding school from age 7, very, very strict boarding school. You know, my parents weren't massively controlling, but they certainly were massive rule followers. My dad certainly and was not afraid to follow the rules. And so whenever you have a very strict parent or very strict teachers and they are like, this is the way it has to be done, you learn not to question it, because questioning it doesn't actually do anything, but you learn to be defiant. You learn to go, well, you may tell me to do it that way, but I'm going to do it my way anyway. And you sneak off and you do it your own way anyway. That's defiance, okay? And unfortunately, it may have served you as a child, but it does not serve you as an adult. And then, because the person who's guiding you, or, you know, in this case, Curtis, my coach, you know, what I should have done is I should have questioned him and said, you know, I really am not sure about how this is going to get me shredded. Can you explain this a little more to me? You know, I could have voiced my concerns to him rather than just going away and doing my own thing. Or I could have even been honest and said, you know, I don't actually believe that this is going to be, you know, this is going to work for me, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to go and make my own plan. Is that okay? Like, what was the downside of being honest? Why did I have to lie? Why did I have to pretend that I was doing it and do something else? And that's really what defiance is. It's just lying. And if you lie about the data, right, or you change the data to suit yourself, then you have far less chance of success. Far less chance of success. I keep my programs that I create very, very pure because they work, right? Now, what do I mean by pure? What I mean is, if you follow the guidelines exactly, you will get results. You will get results. And so people come into the programs all the time and they're like, how can I change this? And how can I change that? And I've decided to add in extra cardio, and I've decided to do this, and I've decided to do that. How can I change this to do this? And can you advise on this? And you advise on this? And I just go, no, no, no. And I keep saying to the coaches, no, 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 no. Do not advise on that. Tell them just to follow the program as it's laid out, to stop chopping and changing, to stop trying to squeeze the meal plan into the macro plan, to stop trying to add in extra cardio, add in extra training, to stop trying to change the exercises, add in this, add in that. Just follow the program exactly as it's laid out, and you will get the results. And the reason why I say this is because if you start chopping and changing, you're less likely to succeed. If I had to just follow the plan Curtis had given me, I would have been ripped to the bone. Do you know how I know this? Because the next year, whenever I prepped for a bikini competition, I was far heavier going into the prep. I was carrying far more body fat, and I only had 12 weeks to prep, and I stood on stage at about 8% body fat. I was ripped to the bone. I had rivers running over my veins. I had massive striations in my shoulders. I was literally shredded to the bone. And all I did was follow his advice to the letter, right? That's how I know it would have worked the first time. But it didn't work the first time because I chopped and changed, and I moved things around, and I moved the goalposts, and then he had to kind of, you know, crisis manage at the end. And I was far, far, far less likely to succeed. Now, once you have the experience in getting the result, right, then you can start to play around with the variables. So once you have been shredded, once you have prepped for a bikini competition, once you have done an 8-week shred and lost 10% body fat or whatever it is that, you know, your goal is, then you can say, okay, well, I did that last time, and this is the exact plan that I followed. So how can I change it this time? So, you know, if you follow my 8-week butt camp, for example, right, you can say, okay, in the 8 weeks, I followed exactly the meal plans. I had 2 weeks at 1500 calories, 2 weeks at 1400, 2 weeks at 1300, 2 weeks at 1200. I added in unlimited vegetables. What vegetables did I do? Well, I had loads of broccoli and loads of green beans and loads of this. And I drank, you know, 2 to 3 liters of water a day. I did exactly the training. Like, if you follow the training plan exactly, you can say, okay, by doing all this, I got this result. And then you can say next time, okay, well, what if I do all this, but I change the cardio slightly? What if I add in, instead of starting at 30 minutes cardio, what if I start at 45 minutes cardio? What if I do this? What if I do, you know, the elliptical instead of running? Like, I have done, you know, cycling for my cardio, like stationary bike. I've done sprinting. I've done walking on a treadmill. I've done Stairmaster. I've done so many different types of cardio. So because I've experimented with cardio, I know now what cardio works best, and I know what to expect and what results to get. So once you've got the result and you've got it again and again and again and again, then you can start to chop and change things. And then you won't be in the Facebook group going, how can I do this? And how can I add this? And what happens with this? And oh my God, you know, I've calculated my macros and I've looked at the calories, and then this is 1500, but this is over here and I'm confused between the two. And we're like, the only reason why you're confused is because you don't actually know what you're doing. Because these two, and then I say to them, you know, the meal plans are based on calories, the macro plans are based on grams. And they go, I don't even know what that means. I go, exactly. But if you were experienced enough to be doing your own macro plan, then you would know what that means and you wouldn't have to ask the question. And so, you know, it just shows to me they have no clue what they're doing, but they kind of, they want to, and I get that people want to learn. I totally get that people want to learn. But here's the thing. Do you want to learn or do you want to get a result? Because the problem is people want both, right? They go, I really want a chance to win the $10,000 prize, but I really want to learn at the same time. And I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to experiment, chop and change and learn, you're less likely to get the result and earn the $10,000 prize. So it depends on what you want, right? It depends on whether you want $10,000 more or you want to learn more. But, you know, don't try and do both, because you're just, you know, the reason why I say it with love, because I've been there. Like I'm telling you all of these stories. I have been where you are. If you're the kind of person who does this, if you're defined, if you're like, oh my God, Kim, this is totally me. I am so defiant. I pretend that I'm following it and then I don't, or whatever. Understand, guys, I've been there and I still struggle with it today, right? But, you know, unless you've actually achieved that result, right, you really have no idea of how to tweak things in order to get there. So your best chance of success, and I want you to succeed, whether it be in bodybuilding, in the 8-week butt camp, in growing a business, I'm going to tell you a business story in a second, but whatever it is that you are trying to achieve for yourself, I want you to succeed. I am rooting for you. And I'm telling you what I did that caused me to fail, and now ultimately what I did, which is what I'm going to go into now, to succeed, to build a multi-million dollar empire in 2 years, people, okay? To become a champion bikini athlete in less than 2 years, right? The first time I stood on stage, I did two competitions. I came second. I came first and I came second in my first two competitions. In my next two competitions, I came second, third, and first. I did three shows the second year that I competed, and I came first, second, and third in three shows. Huge classes, okay? Classes of like 30, 40 women, right? So I want to tell you what I did to succeed, and I want to tell you what it's going to stop you from succeeding. Because the thing is, right, many of us want success, right? But we don't really know what to do to get there. We want this end result. We go, I want to be rich. I want to be successful. I want to have an online business. I want to be ripped. I want to have bigger glutes. I want to have bigger quads. I want to, you know, have a more peaceful, you know, harmonious life with my kids. I want to stop yelling at my kids, whatever it is that you want, right? I want to have a better relationship with my husband. Many of us want success, but we really don't know what we need to do to get there. But the best way to achieve success is to find someone who's done what you want to do and then follow their method, okay? So it's the fastest way to succeed. You know, I want this goal. Find someone who has done what you want to do, who has achieved that goal, not just once, maybe twice, maybe three times, maybe they are like a master at what they do now. Ask them how they did it and follow their method, okay? And remember as well to treat your goal like an experiment. I remember Mark, my trainer, Mark Getty, many of you all know him. He's massive. He's built like a brick shit house. And I remember him saying to me that, you know, he and I have the same philosophy, okay? Find someone who's done what you want to do and follow their method. And he talks about the first time he ever, you know, went into a gym and he saw this guy called Graham McConkey, who was a really big bodybuilder in Belfast here. And he went over and he said, and Mark just knew he wanted to be huge like Graham. So he went over to Graham and he was like, tell me how you did that. And Graham's like, did what? And he goes, how'd you get so big? Teach me your methods. And so Graham took him under his wing and he taught Mark how to get massive. And now Mark obviously then outgrew him at some point and, you know, found different mentors and things. But, you know, Mark just basically went over to him and went, you're really big. I want to be really big. Teach me how you did it. Now, Mark didn't go to many people who were really big. He didn't find many mentors and mix and match programs. He didn't get Graham's advice and then decide that he knew better. Everything Graham told him to do, Mark did. Everything. He didn't question it. He just did it. And that's why Mark was, you know, has won every major title in his federation, was one of the most successful bodybuilders in his field, simply because he followed the plan that Graham gave him ultimately. And then he found a new mentor and a new mentor, because, you know, it's good to have many mentors, just not at the same time. Okay. So, and it was like, whenever I was creating the Sculpted Vegan program, I had tried, so let me just talk about business for a second. Let me relate this to business, because I know many of you don't just follow me for fitness, you follow me for business advice as well, or even just life advice, I guess. So many of you will not know, or what you won't know, is that I am like not an overnight success. Many people think that I am some kind of overnight success, and it really isn't true. I actually started foraying into the world of internet marketing after my fourth son, Jack, was born, right? So Jack is now 8. And I remember whenever Jack was born, I was actually running a bricks and mortar business. I was running a multilingual children's business where, you know, I wanted to have languages for my children. So the teachers that I had for my kids, I would have like rented them out to other families and stuff. But it was so stressful and it was causing me so much anxiety. And, you know, I just had this newborn child and I had 4 children under the age of 7. 6 actually, under the age of 6 at the time. And it was just so, so, so stressful. So what I did was I decided that I was like, there must be a better way. There must be an easier way to make money. And so I started like looking up online. I was like, ebooks. I've heard of people writing ebooks and making money from ebooks. You write it one time and you sell it over and over and over again, right? So I started foraying into the world of internet marketing through writing an ebook. And of course, then once I discovered, you know, once I started looking up how to write an ebook and how to do all this, then I heard about blogs and I started following different big bloggers and I was like, maybe I could start a blog. And so anyway, the long story short, I started writing a blog. I wrote one every day for a year because I'm that kind of crazy person. I thought that if I wrote it every day for a year, then it would grow. Actually, it did grow. I had about 30,000 subscribers on my mailing list, believe it or not, at one point. And, you know, and I started foraying into the world of internet marketing. And of course, then as I went deeper down the rabbit hole, I realized that actually, I didn't want to write an ebook. I wanted to create some kind of network. Okay. And I thought, I can teach women how to do what I've done. I can, you know, I was a work at home mom. I was a stay at home mom at the time, but I wanted to be a work at home mom. And I was like, I'm going to teach other women how to build a successful business. Because even though my multilingual children's company was extremely stressful, it was actually very successful, believe it or not. Well, not successful like I have today, but successful. I had about a £50,000 turnover, which was about $70,000 a year, which for a stay-at-home mom wasn't bad at the time, right? So I created something called the Work at Home Moms Network. Okay, now if you're ever on YouTube and you look up Kim Constable Work at Home Moms Network on YouTube, you will find some of my early business videos. I've never taken them down; they literally make me crack up. They are so hilarious. But I created this company, this network called the Work at Home Moms Network. It was absolutely horrendous. Well, it wasn't horrendous. It was actually quite good at the time. And I created all these different modules and business building things. And I recorded all the content and I loaded it into a members area and I hired a designer and whatever. And I built this membership area, right? So I built this membership program called the Work at Home Moms Network. And I learned a huge amount about internet marketing, mostly through watching free webinars and free webcasts and all that kind of stuff. And by buying different programs, but I really didn't have a lot of money to buy a lot of programs. So I launched the Work at Home Moms Network, right? Here's the problem with the Work at Home Moms Network. I just thought that if I built this program that I would start to sell them, right? Not true. I learned how to build a program or how to build a membership and how to build an online network, but I never learned how to sell. And if you don't learn how to sell, you're never, ever, ever going to be successful. And so I built the Work at Home Moms Network. I worked at it for about 2 years. I was moderately successful. I had, you know, I don't even know how many memberships, but it certainly wasn't anything like it is now. But the problem was I never learned how to sell. So eventually I closed the Work at Home Moms Network. And then I started, you know, teaching yoga, and then I started up D Yoga Talks, which is my online business. But same thing again, I built an online members area and I did learn how to sell it because I was running workshops every month and I would have sold the online members area at the end of the workshops. But that was my sales mechanism. Okay. Run an online workshop. I sold about 120 places a month in my online workshops, detox workshops, where I would have taught yoga physically to 60 people. And then at the end of it, I offered the program for sale at the end of it, and I would have made sales, and that is how I made money doing the selling the program. So that is how I sold my program. So it wasn't a very efficient sales mechanism because it required me obviously to teach physically workshops twice a month to sell at the back of it. So then whenever I developed the Sculpted Vegan program, by this point I knew how to develop an online program. I knew how to develop PDFs. I knew how to write programs. Like, I had developed all of the knowledge of how to do social media. I had some experience with Facebook ads because I'd taken a Facebook ad training. And so I knew I created my own Facebook ads for, you know, to sell my Yoga Talks programs, which is why, or my workshops, which is why I sold 120 spaces per month. I ran all those ads, but I certainly was not an expert at Facebook ads. But what I realized through trying and failing to grow these online businesses over the last, 6 years before I launched The Sculpted Vegan was that if I didn't create a mechanism to sell my programs or to sell what it was that I was, offering, I would never be successful because I had built several programs over the years. I had written different PDFs, written different programs, and I realized that if I didn't learn how to sell, I would never be successful. So what did I do? I found a mentor who was offering a program that taught you how to sell, taught you how to sell using a specific sales mechanism, which is webinars. And so I bought the program. It was $1,000 at the time. It was an enormous investment for me at the time. And I committed that when I bought this program, I would follow everything the mentor said step by step. And I mean step by step. Before I hit the buy now button, I was so committed to making the Sculpted Vegan program work that, and I only had one program. It was a 12-month program that I had created of how to go from, never having stepped foot in a gym to standing on stage as a physique athlete, even if you didn't want to stand on stage, just walking around with a body like you could. I created that program because I had experience in creating programs, but I just did not have experience in selling. So I found a mentor who had done what it was that I wanted to do. And I committed to not be an asshole. I committed to not be defiant or narcissistic and to follow everything they told me to do step by step, because this mentor was a multi-million dollar mentor, right? Had done what I wanted to do. I bought the program. I downloaded it. I worked through the modules step by step. I printed everything out. I put it into a binder and I treated it seriously like a job. I didn't fuck around with it. I didn't half-ass it. I was committed, 100% committed. Okay. And I ran my first webinar 6 months after purchasing the program, and I made $52,000 in my first webinar. Right? First webinar, $52,000. I then used her method to put the webinar, what's called on evergreen, which means that you run Facebook ad traffic to the recording of the webinar, and then people watch the recording and then purchase the program on the back of it. So I hired a company, a Facebook ads company, someone who was very experienced. It cost me $8,500 per month. Right, for the Facebook ads company. But I was so committed after seeing the success of the first launch, which I ran myself. I did all the Facebook ads, I did everything. I knew that now I needed a sales mechanism. So I hired this company, I paid them $8,500 a month, and we put the webinar on evergreen, and I knew that I had to make that money back every month in sales, and the company started to grow. And then we launched again the following year with another webinar. And on our second webinar, we made $240,000 in our second webinar, just under $250,000 a year later in our second webinar, using the exact same system that this mentor had taught me. Now, the first time I bought the system, I hadn't been able to do some of the real intricate pieces because I ran out of time and I ran out of money, and I just did the best that I could. The second time around, I was able to follow exactly what she taught much more closely, and I made $250,000. And after that, the company grew and grew and grew, but I stopped using, well, we did use the webinar format, but we changed an awful lot of it. And then we introduced different sales and whatever. So now I have actually developed my own sales system. Okay. So we don't use the webinar funnel anymore. We're doing something completely different for the reopening of the Sculpt and Shred in September. We are not using the webinar anymore, but it was, my point is to get to that first milestone of success. I found a mentor who had done what I wanted to do, and I followed that mentor, okay? And that mentor got me to $52,000 and then to $240,000. And now my company, last year we turned over £2.13 million, okay? Which is, I'm just going to multiply it here on my calculator, which is about $2.7 million, okay? in its second year of business. And this year we're set to double up. So why am I telling you this story? Okay. I'm telling you this story because if you want to do something awesome, right? First of all, you have to be realistic about what you can achieve. In 8 weeks, in the 8 week bootcamp, are you going to look like me? No. Okay. You're not. Just like if I taught you my sales system, which actually I'm going to do next year, we're launching a business program next March. If I taught you my sales system, right, you're not going to turn over £2.13 million or $2.7 million in your first year. You're just not, because you can't go from zero to $2.7 million. Some people can if you're a massive anomaly, but you don't get there. You go $52,000, $240,000, and then you go to $2 million. You know, you have to be realistic. Actually, we turned over $1.1 million, I think, in the first year, and then we went to $2 million. So anyway, the millions aren't important. The point here is that I found a mentor who had done what I wanted to do, but I was realistic that I was never, no matter how hard I tried, I was never going to make as much money as her in my first launch. But my first launch was going to teach me everything that I needed to know to get me on the road to success. So I was going to enjoy some success, but I wasn't going to be as wealthy, or I wasn't going to have a business the same as the mentor, but I was going to be successful. And this is the problem that I see with the 8 week bootcamp, okay, or with the 4 week shred, or with the jailhouse shred, or any of these programs, okay? To get your first big win, you need to follow a tried and tested plan. If you try to create your own hybrid plan, you're much less likely to succeed. Following a tried and tested plan is the fastest way to success. Yes, learning is great, right? And so is experimentation. Okay, I'm all for learning and experimentation, but not whenever you're working towards a goal for the first time. So I wasn't willing to experiment and learn, you know, and try and fail with sales. I was like, I need to make this company successful. $52,000 for me was an enormous win the first time round. Okay. Now I make $50,000 in the first day of a launch. Okay. Not even joking, of a $97 program, not even a $1,000 program. So, you know, but I was never going to make that the first time around, but it got me to my first big win. But it only got me to my first big win because I did everything that I was told to do. And I was willing to be in it for the long haul. I didn't, you know, yes, would I have loved to have made $1 million my first launch? Yes, but it was never going to happen. And I was realistic about it, right? Someone asked me in the group today, in one of the questions, they said, you know, oh, you know, I really want to get absolutely epic results with this program. So I'm considering either adding in extra weights in the gym, or adding in extra this, or adding in extra cardio, or starting at this, or starting at this. What would you, from the above that I've listed, what would you recommend that's going to get me the best possible results? And do you know what my answer was? None. None of the above is going to get you the best possible results. Do you know what is going to get you the best possible results? Following the program as it's laid out. Because, you know, here's the thing, it's actually almost disrespectful in a way to ask me that, because if there were a way to get better results from the program, I would have written the program that way. I have written this program in such a way that it will get you the best possible results that you can get. And some people have said to me, oh, but should we not start at 60 minutes cardio twice a day? And I'm like, if you start at 60 minutes cardio twice a day, you're more likely to fail. 60 minutes cardio twice a day, plus a 30 to 45 minute training session, 7 days a week for 8 weeks. Some people are starting from zero here. Some people are coming in from a really intense fitness program and trying to add this in. You're much more likely to fail. I've set up the program in such a way that not only will it get you the best results, but it will get you, it will mean that you're more likely to stick to it. The meal plan is simple. Yes, it's repetitive sometimes. Yes, but simple and repetitive will mean that you will finish. Okay. Starting with lower cardio and working your way up as you get stronger and fitter and more used to the training will mean that you will finish. Creating something that is less overwhelming will mean that you will finish. And do you know what will get you the best results? Finishing the program. Going the full 8 weeks and following every single part of the meal plan, every single part of the training, every single part of the cardio. That is what will get you the best results. Not starting out with like 4 hours cardio out of the gate or 1200 calories or whatever. Though, you know, it's only amateurs that want to make it harder in the beginning, because let me tell you, it's going to get harder towards the end. And as it gets harder, that's when the fat is going to start falling off. That's when the muscle is going to grow in your glutes. That's when you're going to get the best results. But those who finish get the best results. And you don't want to make it too hard for yourself, because that way that you're more likely to fail. So, you know, and I guess I suppose what I would ask is, like, do you ever consider, like, why do we find it so hard to trust? Like, why do we find it so hard to trust? Like, why do people go, you know, oh, Sculpted Vegan, big company, see her all over the place. She creates epic programs. I've seen the results. You know, like, if I saw that, I would go, she obviously knows what she's talking about. I've seen thousands of people all over Instagram tagging her, showing epic results. I've seen incredible fat loss. We've seen, you know, we know this girl knows what she's talking about. Like, look at her, look at herself, look at what she's built, look at what she's done. Why would you not look at that and go, you know what, I'm not gonna, like, I don't know better than her. I'm just gonna trust what she says and I'm gonna get it. But we find it so hard to trust, don't we? Like, I'm the same. I'm not going, you guys find it hard to trust and I'm sitting over here all perfect. No, I'm not. I find it hard to trust too. I find it hard to trust in the beginning. I find it hard to trust Curtis. I find it hard to trust different mentors in the past. But the thing, what I've realized is, when you find someone who's done what you want to do, if you just trust that the advice that they give you, you're much, much, much more likely to succeed, right? And I think that's the reason why many of us are not succeeding. We're not succeeding in life. We're not succeeding towards our goals. We're not finally getting what it is that we want for ourselves, because we're not willing to trust. I mean, what is trust, right? Well, if we look at faith and trust together, right? So faith is trust without any data, okay? So you look at the Bootcamp program. You've never done a program like this before. You've never been shredded. It was like me whenever I went to do my first prep for my first competition. I looked at Curtis's plan and all I could have was faith that it would work, right? Because I had no data. So I trusted that it would work on good faith because I had no data. Well, trust is faith with data, okay? So whenever the next year, Once I did Curtis's plan, now I can say, not only do I have faith that it works, I trust that it will work because I have the data. I've done the plan. So whenever you come into something like the 8-week boot camp or the Jailhouse Shred or the 4-week Shred or even the 18-month program, all you have in the beginning is faith. You don't have any trust because you have no data. I mean, you do have data if you've seen all the different transformation programs photos that we post all the time. Then you can have trust, but you don't actually have visceral trust. You don't have trust in your own body because you haven't seen it. You haven't seen yourself transform, right? So you can only trust that, you know, it'll work. You can only have faith that it'll work based on what you see from other people. So what you have to do, like, truly, in order to wrap this up, right, okay, to be successful in any endeavor, whether it be business, whether it be fitness, whether it be whatever, look at the data and decide, is this person worth trusting? Can I have faith that they will get me where I want to go? And if you have no experience and you've never done this kind of thing before, then don't try to go it alone. Like, we have many people join the program who go, oh, I've been training for a long time. And then my coaches say, well, you know, how many shreds have you done? None. But they think because they've been training for a long time, they're very experienced. Oh, I'm highly experienced. They'll say, I'm highly experienced counting macros and training. And my coaches will say, but this isn't a training program. This is a shred. Have you ever been shredded before? No, never been shredded. So why do you believe that you know what to do if you've never done it before? Okay. You really have to have an element of humility, I guess, and say, well, actually, I really don't have any data. I believe that I'm experienced. I believe that I know what I'm doing. I believe this experience that I'm bringing into this will help me along. But actually, I'm humble. I really have no clue. And I'm willing to just trust. It's hard to trust. It's hard to put your faith in someone. It's hard to give up control. Okay. Many of us are control freaks. Hello, over here. Hi, me. Yep. Control freaks, put up your hand. Hello, ding, ding. Definitely control freak over here. Okay. Control freaks find it very, very, very hard to trust. But truly, if you find someone worth trusting and you follow what they tell you to do, you cannot help but succeed. And even if you don't get the results that you expected, quite often it's your expectations that were out of line and not the program. I think that sometimes we have that, you know, I replied to that person in the group and I was like, you can't push your result. You can't, if you follow the program, you'll get the results. If you try to do more, you won't necessarily get any extra results. But this person, I think, believed that we have this belief that if we just do more, we'll get better results. Do more, get better results. More is not always better, guys, especially when it comes to training. You can overtrain, you can overstimulate, you can produce cortisol, you can risk muscle atrophy, you can risk your body shutting down fat burning stores and going into starvation mode. More, especially when it comes to bodybuilding, is not always better. So sometimes you have to adjust your expectations and be patient, right? We find it so hard to be patient. Why are we always in such a hurry? Do you ever ask yourself that? Why are we in such a hurry to achieve the goal, to reach the destination, to get there? You know, if you focus on the destination, you'll miss the journey. What was it Ben Sweetland said? Life is a journey, not a destination. Like, no, yeah, life is a journey, not a destination, I think he said. You know, the journey is where the magic happens. If, you know, whenever I started the Sculpted Vegan, I remember I used to think, oh my God, when I'm turning over like 100,000 a month, oh my God, can you imagine turning over £100,000 a month? Now I would have been like, oh my God, this is insane. This is amazing. You know, really. But you know what I used to think? I used to imagine how I would feel when I was turning over 100,000. Let me tell you don't feel the way you imagine you're going to feel. You're always looking for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, you know? And, you know, we would turn over four times that now per month. And I'm still chasing the next thing, the next thing. But I'm not chasing now financial goals. What I'm chasing now is to help more people, to reach more people, to teach more people, to create more programs, to create this feeling, this, you know, to give people this incredible feeling of success whenever they just follow something and they get this incredible result. That's what I'm chasing now. But you know, if I, what has made my journey, you know, what has really made it worthwhile is the highs and the lows and the feeling, you know, of being suicidal when you're starving and prepping for a show and the feelings of elation when you get your personal best on a squat. And, you know, it's not the body that makes you happy. It's the pushing and the learning and the driving and the failing and the succeeding and the ups and the downs and the worry and the, you know, and the success and the seeing that, you know, the first time your monthly turnover hits $400,000 and you're like, fuck, you know, it's like, it's those milestones. If you're never driving and pushing and moving towards something, you're missing the whole point. So, you know, I would encourage you in whatever it is that you're working towards to see it as an experiment, to have fun with it, to stop being in such a hurry to get the result, to stop being in such a hurry to get to your destination. Because truly, if you're in a hurry to get to your destination, you will miss the journey. And actually, the journey is the most rewarding part. If it were easy, you wouldn't appreciate it. If it were easy, you would not appreciate it. You take for granted the things that you think will always be there. It's only when you have, when you've seen the other side, when you've struggled and worried and put in a huge amount of effort, that you feel the most alive. Emotion makes you feel alive. Never shy away from the emotion. Never shy away from the experimentation and the learning and the journey. But also, you know, make it easy for yourself and just trust the process. Don't make it any harder than it needs to be. Get the Butt Camp program. Get Jailhouse Shred, the four-week shred, whatever program you're following, whether it's one of mine or one of someone else's, just follow it and trust the process. Don't make it any harder. Don't try and figure it all out for yourself. I've done all the heavy lifting for you. I have all of the experience and I have put all of that experience into a $97 program and presented it to you. You don't have to do any of the heavy lifting. Once you've learned and you've achieved the result, then you can start to tweak it for yourself and your individual body to get the results, okay? But in the beginning, all you have to do is relax and follow the process. And I promise if you do that and you have fun along the way, you're going to achieve success and you're going to have a hell of a good time doing it. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Oh my God, this has been such a good episode. I loved, loved, loved recording it. And guys, if you're not in the Butt Camp and you do want to find out more about it, you can go to our website, thesculptedvegan.com. It's only $97. It's an 8-week program for sculpting incredible glutes, eliminating cellulite, and also just getting completely shredded. And also don't forget to leave a review on the podcast to be in with a chance of winning one of our incredible programs. Courtney, my lovely assistant, will be choosing the winner of June very shortly, but you will be in with a chance of winning in July if you leave a review. So don't forget to send me a screenshot on Instagram, leave me a review, and you could be in with a chance of winning any one of our programs that you would like for yourself. Guys, this was absolutely epic. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will catch you for another episode of the Strongest Sculpted Podcast next week. I love you all so much, and I will speak to you then. Bye for now.